If you have your Bibles with you this morning, James chapter 3. I prepared three messages today, two very short ones and one regular one. You've already heard one of the short ones. That's Lady Luck is a Liar. So that one's over. Let me share another passage of Scripture with you, and then we're going to turn to James chapter 3. But I want you to listen to this passage from Romans chapter 1 that is very highly debated in our country today. And we need to understand what this passage is teaching. And we're looking at this on Wednesday nights. We just started this past Wednesday. We'll be looking at it for a couple more Wednesdays. But I don't want you to follow along. I just want you to listen as I read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and of crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator rather than the creation, or served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned their natural function of the women, and burned in their own lust for one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to those who do things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, they who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through the end of the chapter. I'm not going to comment on it today, but I can tell you this is a very heated discussion in our world today about the contents in this chapter. And we need to understand what the Bible teaches about some of these issues that are in here. So, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll pick up what we did last week. We got all the way, I think, through verse 18 and 19 last week. So, join us if you can and if you're free. I know many of you can't, but those of you who can, do. All right, that's that message. Now, number three. I thought about a title for the message today, and I thought I would entitle it, Nobody Likes a Wise Guy. Or another topic is, How to Be a Wise Guy. Now, those seem opposite. On the one hand, I'm saying nobody likes a wise guy, and we've met them. We've met people who they know it all. And if you don't believe they know it all, just ask them. They'll tell you. They know it all. And nobody likes a wise guy. But then I also want to talk today some about how to be a wise guy. And you say, well, Pastor, why do you want us to be something that you say people don't even like? Well, in James chapter 3, the last five verses of this chapter, James talks about wisdom. And one type of wisdom he talks about is worldly wisdom, that which comes natural to people, that which is of their flesh, that which is even demonic. And that's the type of wisdom that God challenges us to stay away from. But in the same passage, he also talks about divine wisdom, or wisdom that comes from above or from God. And that's the wisdom we need. So one wisdom is not going to be beneficial for us as believers, and the other wisdom is. So nobody likes a wise guy, and how to be a wise guy. I think both of those concepts are in this passage. Now, let me just preface that by talking about wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take facts or knowledge or information and properly live them out in our life. Somebody said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. So there's a difference between the two. Some of you are at jobs and you have hired people recently, or people have been hired at your company because they're just out of college and they've got a lot of book learning and they're supposed to be real smart, and you say to your coworker, they don't have any common sense. They know the stuff, they know the technical side, but they don't know how to get along with people, they don't know how to deal with issues, they're not very wise. And so James talks about that. We need wisdom in our choices. Every day we make choices that we need wisdom, and we're either going to draw on our human wisdom, that which we think about from our flesh, or that which is influenced by the pits of hell, demonic wisdom, James says, or we're going to take biblical truth and, being guided by the Holy Spirit, we're going to apply that wisdom to everyday situations. You need wisdom in your marriage. How do you deal with your mate and your spouse and things that come up? I asked Sam. I wanted to know how he did what he did today. I mean, after that song, he just did a little jig. And then my wife did everything he said. I'm going to try that at home. I'm going to try that at home tonight. And some of you can say, that's humanly wisdom. That's from the flesh. That's not of God. And I'll find that out probably if I try that. Do you need any wisdom in raising your kids? You say, I don't need wisdom. Wait till they become teenagers. You'll need it. What about relationships in your neighborhood, or with your in-laws or your relatives? Or what about people that you work with, or even people you go to church with? We need wisdom. There are situations that we get into and we're not sure exactly what to do or how to handle it or what to say, and we need wisdom. There are wisdom books in the Bible. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. There's 31 chapters in that book. And as we go through this month or next month, maybe you would like to do what a lot of people do, and that's read a chapter that corresponds to that day. So today is the 17th. So read chapter 17 in Proverbs today. And so in a month with 31 days, you'll read the whole book that month, just reading one chapter a day. If there's a month with 30 days, well, you're going to have to read two. Okay, so you're just on one of those days. Solomon was believed to be the wisest man that ever lived. Somebody said they disagreed with that. He had 700 in-laws. Now, you can take that for what you want it to be, but I didn't do a lot of thinking about this week in preparation for this message, but what is some of the wisdom that the world offers to you? I thought about one that's used to be very common. I think it still is today. And that is, you need to look out for number one. We're living in a dog-eat world, and if you want to get to the top, you're just going to have to climb over everybody and just worry about yourself. And I'm telling you, that's worldly wisdom. That is not from God. As a matter of fact, Scripture will teach just the opposite. It talks about being humble rather than being proud, and looking out for others more than looking out for yourself. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to give you another chance. Well, I'm glad God doesn't do that. I'm glad God doesn't say, listen, if you mess up twice, that's it. Never going to talk to you again. Never going to forgive you again. Never going to work with you again. You know, I just think God wants me to be happy. And I hear people use that as rationalization for sinning. I'm not happy in this situation. I know God really wants me to deal with this, but rather than do that, God wants me to be happy. And I think the Bible doesn't say that. I don't think there's a verse that says God wants you to be happy. There's verses that says God wants you to be holy. Be holy for I am holy. And I think holiness can lead to joy and contentment and so forth. So what are the characteristics that we need to look at? Let me read to you from James chapter 3. And let me, I usually write this out on my PowerPoint, and those are in the back if you need to pick up one, but the background that I picked for today, I can't hardly read some of it, so. If I can get through Hebrews to James. Verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from heaven, but it's earthly and unnatural. It's natural, it's demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable and gentle and reasonable and full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So, as we look at these verses this morning, I want you to think about your own life and what type of wisdom you're living by. Is it natural? Is it of the flesh? Is it worldly? Is it demonic? Or is it of God, from above, divine? We say, how can you know the difference? Well, I think sometimes it can be difficult. But James gives to us the fruit that will be evident in relation to the wisdom that you're operating by. So let's talk about that a moment. I'm just going to give you some thoughts, and you can take them and mill them over in your own mind. Charles Stanley said, earthly wisdom is doing what comes naturally. Godly wisdom is doing that which the Holy Spirit compels us to do. And that's important. And let me just sort of up front give you some information that we'll close with at the end as far as the principle goes. If you want godly wisdom, you've got to spend time with God. You got to be in His Word. And then when you face life's challenges, you've got to know the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to help you apply that to your life. If you just do what comes naturally, and that's what I think, and that's what I say, and so forth, you're probably going to get yourself in trouble, because people who operate from the flesh, they may not say that, but the results show that. They're always giving out bitter jealousy. I had someone a few years ago say, why don't you try this? It's the new candy come out, Sour Patch Kids. Oh my goodness. Sour is not the word for it. I put that in my mouth and I couldn't get it out quickly enough. They said, oh, keep doing it. You'll get to the sweet part in a minute. No, that's fine. It's not worth it. My mom used to say, be careful around them. They'll bite your head off. Now, not literally, but you. Sometimes we talk to people and sometimes we're like that. We're just bitter. We're just harsh and we're brash. And we do not consider how people are going to respond to what we say. Well, it needed to be said. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But it surely didn't need to be said in that way. And sometimes we take earthly wisdom and mindsets and thoughts and say, we're just going to say or do something without taking into effect the outcome of what we say and what it's going to mean to somebody else. Now, that doesn't mean we need to compromise the truth. I'm not talking about that. So in sharing some of these things, if you're thinking, shouldn't we stand on biblical truth? Absolutely. I remember Mark Lowry, some of you may have seen one of his videos, he said, my dad grew up a Southern Baptist, and he was not always right, but he was never in doubt. Well, we run into people like that sometimes. They're just strong-willed, and that's it. That's the way it's going to be. And right or wrong, they're going to stand on it. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We've got to stand for the truth. But a person that's operating on the world's reasoning and the world's philosophy and the world's wisdom is going to be a person that's very bitter in how they're going to be very harsh in how they come across. You see, as long as everything is going their way, we're fine. But the moment you cross their path, the moment you say something they don't like, they're going to lash out with bitterness. Jealousy, because they don't want to really see somebody else succeed, because they're operating, James says, out of selfish ambition. It's about themselves. And maybe you think about people in your family or people at your job or people in your house that's true with. You know, the motivation is their agenda. It has to be their way. And we all can be stubborn at times. And this is it. And people that are operating under worldly wisdom, that's a problem. They become very bitter. They become very jealous of somebody else's success or ideas or whatever. And they're consumed with themselves and their ways and how actions are taken forth. Then it says that they will boast and lie against the truth. They're arrogant and always talking about themselves and what they've done and what they've accomplished and all that. And you understand that turns people off, don't you? You don't want to be around somebody like being around a porcupine, and as soon as you touch them, you get hurt by it. Who wants to be around somebody that's bitter and jealous and it's always about them and it's always about their ways and selfish ambition just pours out of them and they're arrogant about things, and they come across as arrogant, and there's not much humility in their life or in their speech. James says when we operate like that, and we all have the tendency to do that, when we operate like that, even though we might think we're doing the right thing, and we think we're justified, that is not godly wisdom. That's being a wise guy. And nobody likes that. And so James speaks to that. And then the outcome of dialoguing or interacting with this people, or this individual or us, whatever the case might be, is disorder and division and chaos. That's the result. You know, so you have a committee meeting. And the committee gets together, whatever that might be. And somebody says, it's got to be my way. You're going to be in for a long night. And you've been in that. You've been in that at work. You've been in that if you've got a homeowners association. You might have been in that in church situations. And you know, there's no give. There's no working together. I see that in our world today, in our government. This is true with it can be true with many politicians. It can be true with politics in your job. And that is, people will boast and come across arrogant and say what they need to say for a vote or to get an office or to get that shift or to do whatever. Can you say kiss up in church? I don't know if that's the right word to use or not, but they do what they have to do to get the job. And once they get it, that's it. Well, I didn't think you were going to do that. Now that I'm in position, I'm going to do what I want to do. I just, you know. That's sad, but we see that in both political parties today. And we see that in campaigns, all these promises. And people say one thing to one group and something different to another group. Because they want this vote and they want that vote. So they want to say what appeases them, even if it's against what this group stands for. But they'll say it to this group because they need their vote too. And that's what happens. And that causes division and that causes chaos and disorder. And we've got to be mindful of that. People trying to get people to take their sides and come against somebody else. James says that is not of God. God is a God of order, not disorder. And churches, and we all know of or have been a part of churches that were ripped apart because of people and leadership operating under human wisdom, fleshly wisdom, demonic wisdom. And so look at your life. Well, I'm never like that. Ask your spouse. They will tell you whether you've ever liked that or not. Well, I'm never stubborn. Okay, whatever you say. James says, we don't need to operate out of worldly wisdom. We need to operate from godly wisdom. Wisdom that's from above. Remember in the first chapter, James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give us wisdom if we ask for it and not human wisdom. And so our battle is, well, is this an old wives' tale? Is this something that I've learned from experience that seems to work? Or is this what God says I ought to do? I mean, does God want me to love my enemies? You answer that question to me. Yeah. Love your enemies. But if you're operating under worldly wisdom, you can't do that. Yeah, but I love people who love me. Well, that's what Jesus said. What good is that? Anybody can do that. Well, if they're nice to me, I'm nice to them. Anybody can do that. Unsaved people can do that. The most wretched guy at your work can be nice to people that's nice to them. But Jesus said the mark of Christianity is loving those that are unlovable. Aren't you glad Christ loved those that are unlovable? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you got the idea that when God found you, He found a treasure, then know that that's not true. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, wisdom, James is going to say to us, godly wisdom, will be most evident in our behavior and in our good works. We're going to show our wisdom by the kind deeds that we do to others. We're not going to be brash and harsh and prickly, and we're not going to be jealous and bitter and self-ambitious. We're going to look to the needs of others. At the Last Supper, Jesus would bow before His disciples not to worship them, but to wash their feet, and He would try to teach them the idea of humility. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 10, He said there was a Jewish man that was going down to Jericho, and he was on his way. He was attacked by robbers or thieves. And they beat him up and stripped him and left him for dead in this parable that Jesus told. He said then three guys came by. The first guy that came by was a priest, a Jewish priest, and he was a Jewish man. And rather than attend to his needs, going to worship, he thought somehow he might be defiled if the guy was dead, so he went on the other side and went by him. Levi came by, also passed by. And it's important to understand the significance of this. And then Jesus said a Samaritan came by. And in this parable, I think Jesus was trying to say was Jews hate Samaritans. Samaritans lived in a region north of Jerusalem, and they would have a Gentile mom or dad and a Jewish mom or dad. And in this mixed race, these children were born. They were called Samaritans. Gentiles didn't like them, and Jews didn't like them. And so if anybody had a reason to pass by this guy from the world's viewpoint, it was the Samaritan. You got what you deserved, didn't you? That'll teach you to talk about the Samaritans. Not what he did. You're familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. He went, he tended to his medical needs. He took him, he put him on his donkey, he rode him in town, he found him a place to stay. He told the innkeeper, I'm going to pay any cost or any bills associated with him. When I come back, take care of his needs. And Jesus then would say to the people who were listening, who was the neighbor? You be a neighbor. Well, my neighbor's getting on me about the property line, and they're saying that my tree is over on their property, and I'm going to spend gravels in their grass. Stop. Bake them a good cake and take it to them and love them for Christ's sake. Well, they won't take it. We'll take it and see. Well, I know they won't take it. Well, bring it to my house. I'll take it. I'll take it. Love people. Care about them. Well, what if, listen, Jesus says many times when we do good to those who oppose us, we're heaping coals of fire. We're going to make them ashamed. Now, that's godly wisdom. How you treat people who don't treat you right. Show love to them. Don't pass by on the other side. Our wisdom is seen in our good deeds, Jesus said. That's what God would have us to do. That's not what the world would have us to do. But it's surely what God would have us to do. Verse 17, for wisdom from God is, first of all, it's pure. It's without defilement. It's sincere. It's genuine. It's not hypocritical. It's peaceable. When you run into somebody who is operating from godly wisdom, here's a person that wants to have peace. Not chaos, not division. Now, that doesn't mean we forsake biblical principles. You understand that. But sometimes we make problems a lot worse by what we say and what we do. And we've got to be careful about that. True wisdom doesn't do that. It's gentle. It's reasonable. Reasonable. You know, maybe I didn't get that right. Maybe there is a way different than what I'm thinking. It doesn't always insist on its own rights and its own ways. Yeah, but I don't like them. I'm not going to listen to a word they say. Then you're a fool. The Bible says that. I can prove it. Full of mercy and good fruit. Full of mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserved. Well, they don't deserve. Well, neither do I. Mercy. Do you show people mercy? Not giving them what they deserve? You know? Something happens at the house with the kids or with your maid, and you say, I'll show them. I'm not going to talk to them. Or I'm not going to be with them. I'm going to punish them. I'm going to do. That's not mercy. That's vengeance. That's resentment. That's not of God. That's demonic. But it's from our flesh. And we've got to be careful about that. Unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace, and they make peace. I would challenge you to go back and look at those verses and see, is the wisdom you have from above or not? Let me just read some verses, make just very brief comments, and we'll close. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, Pastor, I really want to have godly wisdom. Now, if you're not saying that, there's an issue there. Because as a Christian, we want to operate in our homes, with our spouse, with our kids, at school, with our teachers, with the kids in our class, on our sports teams, at our church, at our work, in our neighborhood, with family gatherings. We want to operate with godly wisdom so that we don't cause chaos and division and bitterness and slander and gossip and all that stuff. And the way that we get godly wisdom is to fear the Lord, a consciousness of who He is. And the New Testament, Jesus said, the fear of the Lord is to obey Him. Is that your desire? We talked about that some Wednesday night. We'll come back to it this week. As a Christian, our heart's desire should be, I'm going to obey God even when I don't feel like it. If I know that what God said is true. In other words, there's different interpretation of Scripture. But if I know this is what God says, it is my role as a Christian to submit to the will of God because He's the Lord and I'm the servant. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is how God says, I don't feel like wanting to do it this way, but it's what God says. And so this is what the way I've got to respond. This is the way I've got to act. This is the way I've got to interact. Because it's what God says. It's God's wisdom. It's not from below. It's not from the earth. It's not from the flesh. It's not from the devil. Proverbs 4, 7, and 8. Wisdom is this principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. And in Proverbs, in this situation, or in several passages, wisdom is personified as a beautiful woman. And it says, get her, talking about wisdom. Get her and cherish her and hold her near to you and get understanding. Just because you're getting older does not mean you're getting wiser. Right? We've got to know God's truth and live it. And that's how we get wisdom. And so coming to church and coming to Sunday school, coming to Wednesday night, reading the Bible on your own, studying the Scripture, exposing yourself to the teachings about different issues in Scripture will help you gain God's insight and then help Him to help you know how to apply that in your life. I've got a couple situations in my life right now outside of our church, has nothing to do with people at our church, that I know what I want, but I'm just not sure how to go about it. You can go about the right thing in the wrong way and make a situation worse. Did you know that? And so and I've been praying this for a couple months. Lord, I just don't know how to broach the subject and how to share into a person's life who I'm not sure is saved in a way that's not going to be offensive. Now, the gospel is offensive, but I don't need to be, right? And so how can you do it in such a way that it will be received? Again, the power is in the Word and the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to be a detriment to what God wants to do. Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, His glorious Father, that He might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know Him better. Wisdom is not just what we seek for, though we need to. It's one of the works of the Holy Spirit in our heart. You know, you should say that. You know, you shouldn't say that. You know, you should do that. You know, you shouldn't do that. You know, you should do that, but not in that way. That's the wisdom of God. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To choose understanding than silver. Now, we've heard that verse before. We're familiar with that. But if I said, I got $1 million over here and the Bible that's full of wisdom, it's going to help you in living, take which one you want. I know where you're headed. Wisdom. If you had one wish, did you ever play that growing up? If you had three wishes, what would it be? Beautiful car, and you know, all this money. And the third one was always two more wishes. God asked Solomon, if I give you anything you want, what do you want? Solomon said, give me wisdom. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for a great position. He said, God, give me wisdom because I'm going to follow in my dad's steps as the king of this nation, and there's going to be situations I'm not sure how to handle, and you're going to have to give me some wisdom. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you wisdom, and because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you a lot more than that. So God gave Solomon wisdom. You know what one of the first things he had to deal with was? Two women. If you're having to deal with two women, they're mad. You're going to need God's wisdom. And they came in before him. How can I help you? Well, last night we were together and we both have babies and her baby died and mine's still living. And she's saying that my baby's hers. And the other lady said, wait. It wasn't my baby died, it was your baby that died. That's my baby. No, it's not, that's my baby. And they both claimed the live baby. Now, how's Solomon going to know which one goes to which? Well, we're going to run some DNA tests if y'all go down to the hospital. So I'm going to tell you what you do. Hey, bring me a knife. We're going to cut it up. We're going to cut that baby in half, and you can have half, and you can have half, and both of you will be happy. And the one lady said, that's fine with me. And the other lady said, no, let her have it. Solomon said, there's the real mom. Because the real mom's not going to want her baby cut in half. That's pretty smart, pretty wise. God gave him wisdom. And there's going to be times you're going to be in situations and you're not sure what to do and how to handle it, and you've not prepared for it, and you just need to pray, God, I need wisdom. I need to know what to say here. I need to know what to do. And follow the wisdom of God. Because every day of our lives, we need God's wisdom. We've got to be in His book, and His book's got to be in us so that we'll operate in a way that's from above and not below. Don't be a wise guy, but I've told you how to be a wise guy. Father, thank you for your word. Cement it in our heart. And help us to realize when we're operating of the flesh and not of the spirit. Because we can go back and forth quickly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. Lord bless you.